Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad that you are able to join me today as we continue on in a message I began a few days ago, which I've entitled, Heeding Our Ways. And as this old year draws to an end, and we are on the brink of a brand new year, I thought it would be well for us, as David did, as he expressed in Psalm 39, to take a review of where we're at before the Lord, not just in our own natural life, the circumstances and events where we're finding ourselves presently, but also spiritually. And we've been going verse by verse through this psalm. David begins by saying, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. And so he was taking an inventory. To take heed means to pay attention, to take notice of. Now, he's not specific. He doesn't say what's going on, but he was in a state of deep distress, and he was verbalizing where he was at to the Lord. And he begins by making several statements. One, that he was going to keep his mouth shut. He said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. He didn't want to bring reproach upon the Lord by anything he would say because of the condition or state he was in. Haven't you at times, I think we've probably all been guilty of that, we've not been in a good way, a good place, and we've said something that later we really regretted having said, because it is not the kind of thing that would uplift and edify and encourage others, because that's how our speech should be, even though we should season it with salt. In other words, speak the truth in love, but should seek to edify and to uplift and encourage others. And so he was committed to that. And also, as we went on to verse 3, he began, as he was silent, he began to look at his spiritual condition, to look at the condition of his soul and spirit. And he was not wanting in any way that his attitudes of mind and heart would reflect in a negative way upon the Lord, because, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's just not a matter of putting a bridle on your tongue. He went deeper, and God does not want our hearts to be torn apart and disturbed by fears and unbelief, or to be indifferent or carnal and worldly, wrapped up with the things of this world, but to have a true eternal perspective of what are the important things. And as David began to consider these kinds of things, let's now read verse 4. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. As we begin to consider eternal realities, we come face to face with the fact, beloved, you and I are mortal creatures. Death, as you hear me say, if you listen at all frequently, is the last enemy to be put underfoot. Unless Jesus comes and we are raptured to be with him, we're changed, our physical, mortal body are changed into like his glorious immortal body, we will go by the way of the grave. And so we have to realize that, you know, when you're young, you realize, you wouldn't say that intellectually, but we have the feeling that we were invincible, invulnerable, we'll live forever. Well, that's true. Our spirit man will, but our physical body won't. And so he was asking the Lord to have a proper perspective, to consider that his days are numbered. Beloved, we are one day closer to to the return of the Lord. We're one day closer to that time, if the Lord should tarry, where we will pass from this life through death, by death, into the presence of the Lord. And when we stand before Him, how will we be? What will we have to present to Him? If we are saved, praise God, we are covered by the blood of the Lamb, we will enjoy eternal salvation. But what we do with that salvation, from the point of salvation, how we live our lives, how we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us, how we accept the chastening of the Lord, how we deal with the sorrows and suffering and pain that comes into our lives that the Lord allows for His purposes, this will be the measure of our rewards. How faithful have we been with what God has given us, with the talents, the gifts that we have been given? It doesn't matter if we feel we don't have too much to offer to the Lord. We might feel, you know, we're not a great evangelist. We don't do great, mighty works for God. We don't see the dead raised. But God is asking of you and I, with our particular life circumstances, how faithful we are. That's all He's looking at. He's not expecting you to measure up to the stature or the requirements of another brother or sister in the body of Christ. Your life is unique, beloved. Your life is very specific and particular. You have a very unique and personal destiny. That's all that you're going to be judged on. Aren't you glad for that? That's why God hates emulation. Do you know what that is? It's one of the works of the flesh. It's competition. And let me tell you, beloved, been in ministry a long time, there's a lot of competition even in the church, even in from ministry to ministry, denomination to denomination. It should not be so, beloved, because that's not the way of the Lord. Even when Jesus was alive, He had to deal with that with His disciples. They were arguing who was greatest among them, who was going to be at His right hand and at His left hand. Come on, beloved. Human nature hasn't changed. Only God can change our heart. And so that's why David was taking time. He was looking at his heart. He was looking at his end. There's a reference in Numbers, the 23rd chapter, verse 10, where Balaam, who was a prophet of the Lord, he didn't end up very well, but he was basically hired by the king of Moab, the princes of Midian, to curse Israel. And what he said in Numbers 23 and 10, while he was under the anointing, he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." He was, of course, referencing Israel, the people of God. Of course, because he was used to cause them to be to fornicate and to follow after the paths of Moab, he died. He fell numbered among the enemies of God. And Psalm 37 and verse 37 says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Beloved, where shall we be in eternity? That is perhaps one of the most profound questions we can ask. Some people say, "Oh, well, you know, we just cease to exist." Well, that's a lie of the devil. Man is an eternal spirit and will either be one of two places. Will either be with the Lord or with the devil in hell. God never created hell for His creation, man, the epitome of the most beautiful of all the works of His hand. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, David said, and settest him over all the works of thine hands. He was amazed that this great God who created the universe, the fullness thereof, of all the things in the world, would create man and ordain him to such high privilege and ability to fellowship, to be as even the very a child of God, children of God. That's what we are. And so we have to understand, beloved, that our days are numbered. It's not how long our life is, but we need to ask the Lord for His wisdom and grace to consider life's end. The end of life is as significant as its start. To the wicked, it's the end of all joy. and to the godly man, it's the end of all griefs. Hear what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Why? Because, beloved, that's when we will stand face to face with our Creator, with our Maker. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's why I'm continually on this broadcast encouraging you, strengthening you through prayer and through the Scriptures to live a godly life in the fear of the Lord. Because that's the beginning of wisdom, beloved, the fear of the Lord. And we never know what our days will be. We never know how long we have. Let's go on in verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Just continuing his thoughts on the brevity and shortness of human life. Beloved, all time is nothing compared to God's eternity, much less our share of time. Man's life on earth is vain, and everything about him is uncertain. The only things durable and substantial is what relates to the new man. What we do today, beloved. And then he says, Selah, and that's a stop for emphasis, to consider this truth. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown by, and there's much more to share. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time, or if you're not able and you would like to listen to the broadcast or rehear it, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can listen anytime at your convenience. Just click on the broadcast. But as this broadcast comes to a close, I just want to wish you during this holiday season God's very best. My prayers are with you every day, my UCM family, my radio family. I pray for you, and I'm asking that God's presence will be with you as this year draws to a close, and with anticipation as you look forward to the new year and all that God has for you. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,